We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for your support.
Almighty God, Father of the whole human family, we thank you and ask your blessing as we gather for this uniquely American moment.
The Supreme Court has said that it's cruel and unusual punishment to give the death penalty to a rapist. And I don't think that an innocent child conceived in rape deserves the death penalty either.
We so often downplay this as if it's something unimportant to have word and sacrament in the church, as if receiving this gospel is sort of just something we do here. No, it is who we are.
Homeschool families love Issues Etc. We have issues.
A lot has been made of the experience of Sunday morning, and you lose some objectivity when you walk in there, especially into the church where there are thousands of people, where the lights are just right, where the sound is booming, where it is, it seems, geared to create a kind of mood or atmosphere, and then that mood or atmosphere will create in you a kind of attitude or feeling. It's hard to remain objective. Now, if you look at it from a purely sociological standpoint, what would you find? Well, we don't have to guess on that. There's now a new study out on megachurches called God is Like a Drug, Explaining Interaction Ritual Chains in American Megachurches. And that's what it concludes. It almost has a drug-like quality in the megachurch for the average person who attends there Sunday to Sunday. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking with the co-author of that study, Dr. James Wellman, for a few minutes here, and then I'll get your reaction to what he has to say during some audio open lines, 1-877-623-6943. Leave your reaction at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll round off today's Issues Etc., talking with Pastor Greg Alms about baptism, death, and resurrection. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. James Wellman is Associate Professor of American Religion and Chairman of the Department of Comparative Religion at the University of Washington, and he's co-author of this new study on megachurches titled God is Like a Drug, Explaining Interaction Ritual Chains in America's Megachurches. Dr. Wellman, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much.
You have said of the megachurch, it's a new hybrid form of Christianity. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, it's interesting that since 1970, megachurches have skyrocketed in growth. And what we call a megachurch is usually a church that has 2,000 or more persons attending on a Sunday morning. And what we've seen is really a tripling of growth of this form of megachurch from 1970 till today. And there's about 1,200 to 1,300 megachurches now in the nation, and the truth is that they never existed to a great extent before 1970. There was a handful, but they've really grown in terms of numbers since 1970.
The big headline that everyone is taking from your recent paper is that God is like a drug in these megachurches. What do you want that to mean when you talk about this experience being like a drug-like experience?
Yeah. You know, the title is actually a quote from one of the respondents in our study. There's about 500 interviews that we did, and we did qualitative and quantitative research on these megachurches, about 12 nationally representative megachurches. And what we found, and we didn't go into the research wanting to find this, what we found is that these megachurches increased, you know, gave people a feeling that was extraordinary. And one person, for instance, says, you know, God is like a drug. Another respondent said, I can't wait to go to church to get my next hit. So there's, you know, there's a sense in which people go to these churches and find enormous strength emotionally from being a part of these churches.
What role does the size of the megachurch congregation play in that individual and corporate experience, do you think?
Well, you know, I think size matters in this situation. And that is, many people from the outside would imagine that larger churches are not very intimate places and don't really provide spiritual growth for the members. We found the opposite is the case, is that by far over 80% of our respondents said they felt deep spiritual growth because of going to these churches. And size matters in the sense of, you know, frankly, the quality of the leadership. The pastor is often better in these churches. They have more resources to give to various ministries. And people, you know, much like rock concerts or sporting events, they want to be in rooms that are filled with people who are like-minded, and that kind of presence really matters in increasing the sense that this is an important event.
What role does technology, because you really can't talk about the megachurch without its use and implementation of various technologies, what role does the technology play in that experience?
Yeah, I think technology is really critical, both in terms of the quality of the music. Often people talk about the music as being critical to their spiritual experience. Also, often in these megachurches, there'll be videography, and so people will see the faces of the pastor and the singers and of their co-religionists or their fellow parishioners, and will take cues, literally, and this works on TV as well, is observers take cues from other viewers, and they say, okay, if they're interested, I'm interested, and that's what you see at these megachurches.
What about the role of, as you have stated, a charismatic pastor?
Well, and you know, this is really important. Charismatic pastors come in different forms. Some are quiet, some are louder, some are dynamic, some are not so dynamic. But we found in almost every case, the pastor was critical, he was biblical, and it's in every case in our study, it's a male. The pastor is a male. So, and what parishioners will say is that, yes, my pastor, you know, in this sense, is everything to me. And of course, they'll say also that, well, he's not the focus of my worship. At the same time, they'll say often comments, well, everything he says comes straight from the Word of God and feels like it's straight from God into my heart. So these pastors have a real empathy for the problems and challenges that parishioners are facing. But these pastors also have often give an answer that parishioners can relate to and say, well, that is the right interpretation of the Word of God for me.
Regarding the experience of the megachurch on a Sunday morning or other worship venue, a term that came up a lot in your respondents' answers was contagious. What does that signify?
Well, you know, contagious simply means that the feelings of effervescence, the feelings of enthusiasm, the feelings of intimacy with God is contagious. That is, people go into these venues and they just feel like the electricity is turned on, literally. And what we speculated, we didn't test for this, but there's a great deal of neurophysical research on this, is that people, when they're in crowds of like-minded people, have a kind of oxytocin high. That is a particular amino chain reaction that says everything is well. I mean, this is, you know, this is really well known in neurophysiology, that people, when they feel that everything is well, they are feeling this chemical reaction of this oxytocin. And that's exactly the experience that people seem to have when they talk about their experiences in these churches.
Could you anticipate, this might be a little awkward, I guess, but could you anticipate actually neurophysiologists being able to test for this, setting up something that could actually mark patterns in the brain to say what's happening in someone's brain while undergoing this drug-like experience of the megachurch?
Yeah, I think it would be rather awkward, but it is being done now. Templeton is funding research on people while they pray, and they found that there are physiological changes when people go into deep meditation. So it sounds kind of suspicious in a certain way, but if you think about it this way, you know, whether God exists or not, We would certainly hypothesize that God would work through the human body, or the Spirit of God would work through the human body, and so that this is exactly what is happening, you know, in that sense, wouldn't be a surprise.
Finally, then, you've talked about the megachurch success, and you have said, quote, how are you going to dominate the market? You give them a generic form of Christianity that's upbeat, exciting, and uplifting. Do you think that's a good summary of what the megachurch is currently doing in the marketplace of American ideas?
I think some call it the prosperity gospel, and certainly, people like Joel Osteen really are a part of that movement. I don't think all megachurches will say, for instance, that God will bless you and God blesses you economically when that happens. So there's a lot of differences in theology, etc. But what we found is really, kind of a generalized, upbeat, hopeful message, and particularly in a down time in terms of the economy, people are really looking for something that makes them have a sense of hope. So it's not a big shock. It's not a surprise.
Dr. James Wellman is our guest. When we come back, a few more questions for him on his latest study of megachurches, God is Like a Drug.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Well, Justin has completed his summer work at Sylvan Learning Center in Edwardsville. His reading comprehension has improved more than 3 grade levels, and his vocabulary has increased almost an entire grade level. Sylvan Learning Center of Edwardsville has a 6-week back-to-school boot camp. Their phone number is 618-656-0500, 618-656-0500. Emily has 4 weeks left at Sylvan. A report on her progress next time.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for your support.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
choir of King's College with the well-known hymn, My Song is Love Unknown. Playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. One of the things many of our listeners to LPR remark about is the sheer beauty of many of those choral pieces that we play 24/7 at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen now, listen anytime. LutheranPublicRadio.org, sacred music for the world. Now, we have about 5 minutes left in our interview with Dr. James Wellman. I got a couple more questions for him of the University of Washington and author of this study, God is Like a Drug. And then I want your reaction to our interview and to his study, God is Like a Drug, talking about megachurches and the experience that people have there. 1-877-623-6943. We've left space at our Facebook fan page for your reaction to our conversation with Dr. Wellman. Facebook.com/issuesETC. Facebook.com/issuesETC. Give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Wellman, did you get the sense that any of the respondents to your study put personal emotional experience over objective truth?
Well, you know, that's a big question. I think they would say that their feelings corroborate the truth of the scripture. And I think that's probably a good way to put it, is that this subjective feeling of their inner selves is reflected and really illuminated in the scripture and by the pastor.
Did you get any sense of where the megachurch is headed, given the response of the many that were surveyed?
Oh, my take is that they will continue to dominate and will grow in the market. One of the things that you see most often now is the increase in satellite churches. So a megachurch will create satellite churches, and whether near their sites or in other cities or other nations of the world, so that will grow. But I think the megachurch is here to stay.
Dr. Wellman, I had one more question. We had some time back interviewed Ted Haggard, the former president of the National Association of Evangelicals, and at that time, pastor of a bona fide megachurch in the state of Colorado. And he had said that the emotional experience of the megachurch does permit a certain amount of possibility of manipulation. What are your thoughts there as a sociologist with respect to the megachurch experience?
Well, you know, I think that's always the question in many people's minds, is that megachurches by their nature are manipulative. Honestly, in sociology, we do not believe that in brainwashing. In other words, we believe that individuals make up their mind based on their experience of what they like, and then make decisions and do actions in response to those things. So, I think anything is ripe for manipulation that has a large following like that. But in general, I tend to downplay that idea that these are only manipulative organizations. I don't quite go in that direction. I mean, Ted Haggard could have been talking about himself, and it became clear that he was, of course, manipulating his organization around his own problematic behavior.
What about the emotional experience being the product of manipulation, the combination of, you say, multisensory melange of technology, of a group experience, of the personality of the charismatic pastor? What about that experience being the product of manipulation?
Then you have to say basically that almost everything in modern life is one form of manipulation. Is a football game, NFL football, a form of manipulation? Is rock concerts a form of manipulation? I don't think these activities in these large venue experiences are really that much different, literally, from each other. And for the most part, what we found when I've done other studies, I did a book on evangelicals versus liberal, and I studied 24 evangelical churches in the Pacific Northwest. And what we found is that enormous social good coming from these, especially the large evangelical churches, people have, do, when they're related to these churches, do more social good on behalf of others, for others. So I just don't see it that way.
Dr. James Wellman is Associate Professor of American Religion and Chairman of the Department of Comparative Religion at the University of Washington. He's co-author of a new study titled God is Like a Drug, Explaining Interaction Ritual Chains in American Megachurches, and co-author of the forthcoming book with Rob Bell, High on God, How Megachurches Conquered America. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Oh, you bet.
All right, now I want to hear from you, because this is like wildfire all over the internet. I've seen it reprinted, printed stories on this. God is like a drug sociologist trying to explain the emotional experience, that sense of well-being that members of megachurches get when they're in that large venue, when they're in that large crowd. Do you think it's any different than the excitement you feel at a sporting event, a football game or a basketball game? So easy to get caught up in the mood of the crowd. Now, I don't know. I've been to a couple of these big venues, and not churches. I'm talking about just places where the crowd is big and the excitement is high, and there is a certain kind of manipulation going on. What's your reaction to our interview with Dr. James Wellman on his new study, God is Like a Drug? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Hey, if you were watching the Republican National Convention, they got the big screens, they got the music pumping it up, they got the charismatic personalities. Just last night, the New Jersey governor out there, and people were excited. They were having a common emotional experience. Is it any different than the megachurch? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Got about 5 minutes for your reaction to our interview with Dr. James Wellman and his study, God is Like a Drug. Our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Kelly listens in Canada. Here's her reaction. She says, Dr. Wellman sounded unwilling to describe certain effects of the megachurch experience as intentionally manipulative, because that would lead us to question whether similar experiences like football games or rock concerts are also manipulative. But isn't it obvious that a football game or a rock concert are manipulative, says Kelly. People pay good money to share an experience, and these aren't necessarily bad experiences, but a lot more is at stake if a church is using the same kind of technique to create an emotional high that a concert or a sporting event uses. People come to attribute these purely naturalistic means of arousal to God and to feel spiritually empty if they do not have this emotional experience. In that sense, says Kelly, church becomes another way to be entertained. And a non-entertaining church experience starts to become inconceivable. This has huge ramifications on how people relate to and understand God and his work in the church at large. Kelly, thanks for listening in Canada. What do you think? Kelly says, yes, there is manipulation going on. And these feelings, this sense, this oxytocin-like effect that they're talking about, a chemical effect in the brain that they are observing among megachurch attendees, may be the product of the lights, the music, and let's just call it what it is, the manipulation. Do you agree or disagree? 1-877-623-6943. It's audio open lines, issues, etc. We're coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon, August the 29th. Talk back at issuesetc.org or leave your reaction at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. In a few minutes, we'll be talking with Pastor Greg Alms about baptism, death, and resurrection. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Touchstone Magazine titled Unsafe Sacrament. That's a good way to think about baptism. That's coming up here in just a few minutes on Issues Etc. In the meantime, your reaction to that study that's out, you've read it, you read about it. God is like a drug. They have looked at it sociologically, and they say there is a shared experience in the megachurch. 1-877-623-6943. I don't think it's just a suspicion. And I honestly don't think that most of those who create the megachurch experience, it doesn't happen simply because people get together in a large venue and someone speaks from the stage. Can it happen that way? Of course it can, but it doesn't. Let's be honest. It happens with careful planning, with music that is intended to create an atmosphere, with other atmospheric effects that are intentionally used. There is the technology at work here. There's no doubt about that. So let's be honest. If you go, I went to the Cowboy Stadium, and I saw the big screen there, and just the experience of looking at a screen that large, that bright, that unbelievable is awe-inspiring. The technology itself can inspire awe. Jan in Clarksville, Tennessee says, I would like to see a study done on traditional liturgical churches. Is there a high that comes with corporate confession and absolution? Is emotion a requirement for worship anyway? Germans don't have oxytocin in their brains. I think that's a little bit of a break. I want to know what you think about this. The sociologists are concluding that this is a group experience. It's being brought about. They don't go into whether or not it's God's work or not. That's not their business, and we can't fault them for that. But they are saying this is something that is a real effect of attending a megachurch. Here's Gail listening on her cell. Hi, Gail.
Hi, how are you? Can you hear me? I'm on my cell phone.
I hear you just fine.
Okay, good. I just wanted to say, having been through this, not in a mega church like in Houston or something, but in a pretty big church, that the sad thing is you don't know if you're being manipulated if you don't know Scripture. And they can play on this. And I know that when I was feeling manipulated, the reason I knew is because I knew Scripture. And I think if they keep the people in the dark and they use Oprah and Dr. Phil and everybody to supplement what they're saying, it's pretty easy to get people to listen because it's a hurting world and they're looking for a drug to solve it.
Well, Gail, thank you very much. As I often say, smartest listeners in radio, a hurting world where they're looking for a drug. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. It's Audio Open Lines. We'll continue it on the other side of the break. Get your reaction to our interview with Dr. James Wellman about his study, God is Like a Drug, studying the emotional effect of those that megachurch attendance has on those who attend. 1-877-623-6943. It's Audio Open Lines. We'll be right back. What are the sources and origins of writings like the Book of Mormon, the Quran, and the Gospel of Thomas, and how do they compare to the Bible? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is One Word, Many Writings, a study of the origins of religious writings. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can find out more about One Word, Many Writings by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. One Word, Many Writings by Dr. Adam Francisco.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Jeff Siegel of St. Mary Evangelical Lutheran Church in Des Moines, Iowa, where God gathers us around His means and grace to offer us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Whether you are looking for a church or just visiting Des Moines, if you like Issues Etc., St. Mary's is the church for you. Join us as we gather together every Sunday to continue the Reformation tradition of Christ-centered, cross-focused worship, preaching, and teaching. For more information, go to www.stmarylutheran.org. Remember to spell out saint.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Coming off our conversation with Dr. James Wellman, co-author of a study, a sociological study of megachurches titled God is Like a Drug, getting your reaction. In a few minutes, we'll be talking with Pastor Greg Alms about baptism, death, and resurrection. 1-877-623-6943. The emotions are real. There's no doubt about that. What do they come from? Are they created in that sense? Everyone assumes when they're there in the megachurch that it is the move of God, that it's the Spirit, that something genuinely religious is taking place. But can we discount the fact that those are emotions created like any other big venue or any other big crowd? 1-877-623-6943. But at least the adherents are being honest. They're saying that God is like a drug. That's not a sociological conclusion. That actually came from one of the respondents to the survey. Herman is listening in Illinois. Thanks for waiting, Herman.
Yes, the description of God is like a drug doesn't surprise me at all. I would say that in terms of in American history, this phenomenon is traceable to the Second Great Awakening prior to the Civil War, and in an attempt to also enhance that and codify it by Charles Finney. The revivalist circuit isn't the tent on the road in the revival circuit anymore. It's become the mega church. And just like you pointed out on your programs in the past, even Willow Creek up there around Chicago realizes that there is a lack of depth of discipling under the Word of God in this, that the intensity is certainly overlooking.
Herman, thanks for listening. Scott is listening in St. Louis. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Todd. I was just thinking about, I worship in a church that worships between 100 and 150 at a service, yet I think I'm worshiping in a mega church because I'm worshiping with all of the saints.
I like the way you think about that, Scott. Thank you very much. Well, yes, in that sense, we are worshiping with the whole church at once. You get a lot of people physically in the room with you, a lot of seats, a lot of people, a lot of sound. And when does the work of the Spirit begin, and just the effect of being in that crowd, seeing that spectacle, where does that begin? Carol says, I also believe that even Lutherans can worship can create an emotional high. I cry during hymns in communion, so it manipulates me emotionally too. All of it speaks directly to my heart. I have attended the mega churches, but the lack of the sacrament is something that I miss terribly. Thank you very much for your thoughts, and thanks for listening there. What do you do when you enter a place? Let's not talk church. Let's just talk any big room with lots of people in it. And it's exciting. The event itself is exciting. You're fixated. Your attention is drawn. Maybe there's music in the background. That music I mentioned before, the Republican National Convention, for Republicans there, they're on an emotional high. They hear stirring speeches. But we don't call that the work of God. We call that, well, what happens when people get together? I think it would do the purveyors of the megachurch to carefully consider where they are creating something that may not be there otherwise, and not immediately attribute it to the good feelings, the sense of well-being, the emotional high, the feeling that you have to get back there to get your next hit. That's the terms used by the respondents. I don't think they should immediately say, well, obviously God is at work here. They're smart people. They've been to movies that move them. They've been to football games where the excitement is palpable. They've been to rock concerts. In fact, they model their service largely after a rock concert, don't they? So they're smart people. They know what they're doing. What we need here is a little honesty and a little self-reflection. Those who are the purveyors of the megachurch experience need to say, well, you know, we kind of create the atmosphere here. We do that on purpose. Now, if they're not willing to admit that they're doing that on purpose, they have to somehow say that it all happens spontaneously, and everyone knows it doesn't. It happens with careful planning. The lights are set just so. The sound is set just so. The music is set just so. Just so what? Just to create that experience. And just be honest and admit it. I have written a new article for the Issues Etc. journal that touches upon this briefly. The article's called Behind the Music, The Real Worship War. I won't tell you what it's about. I'll let you read it for yourself. You might finish reading it and say, wow, he just threw down the gauntlet in the worship war. It's not true. I'm actually calling for a truce and some careful, honest talk about worship and what really is at the heart of the conflict of the worship war. It's all there in the Issues Etc. journal. Now, if you've already subscribed to the Issues Etc. journal, if you've either gone to our website and punched the big red button, then you've already subscribed. Don't worry, you don't have to do it again. Or if you've been receiving the Issues Etc. journal, you don't have to resubscribe. But if you've never gotten it before, go to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll see the big red button. Click there and enter your email address, and you are subscribed to the Issues Etc. journal. We also have a great Wittenberg Trail feature in the next journal from a Lutheran pastor who used to be an Islamic extremist. And it's an amazing story to read, in addition to my article called Behind the Music, The Real Worship War. Issuesetc.org. Hit the big red button and enter your email address.